As the children are going downstairs, I just want to say what a beautiful day it is in which we can come and worship the Lord. Every day that God gives us is another day of grace. Some of the things you're going to hear this morning are meant to just help us get a little broader perspective about the calling of the church. The church is to go and make disciples of all nations. And one of the nations that God has called us to is to go and make disciples of people in Haiti. They're wonderful people. Yes, of course, we see a lot of challenges, somewhat overwhelming. Clearly a God-sized task, but He's asking us as imperfect human beings to go, to love, to pray for, to help, to use our time, our energy, and all of our resources to reach these people. And so I was privileged to have four other men join me, and they're going to be coming up and sharing with some pictures, but more importantly, just some comments, some thoughts, some things that God was teaching them as they were experiencing this time in Haiti. And as you're listening, my challenge to you this morning is that you would not think of yourself as not having been there so much as thinking about how can I continue to support the work that we do together in Haiti? How can I pray more constructively when I hear different names or see different faces? Can I appreciate all that the Lord is doing there? So I'm going to call upon Rick, and then the fellows are going to come up one after another and share with you some of the things that they saw and experienced there in Haiti. Rick.
Okay, well, I'm going to try and just talk a little bit through some of these pictures. I'm going to focus a little bit on what were some of the things that the team did while we were out there. The first picture that you saw was in the hotel there. Is this going to work? That was after about an hour of sleep. We got to the hotel about 12:45, and we got up at 3:30 to go to the airport. So one of the things that we got to do as a team is to spend time with some of the pastors there. And that was a really special time to be able to share a little bit with them and pray with them. And we also got to see as they received the MP3 players that we as a church sent to them. So here's a picture of all of them with their solar-powered MP3 players. And that's a real help to a lot of them. Some of them can't read that well, so they have on those MP3 players the Bible in their own native language, as well as a few hundred hours of other things that are going to be really helpful for them. We did get to do a little bit of sightseeing. This is up on top of the citadel. And I guess the order of my pictures changed up a bit. Anyway, another thing that's really special as a group to be able to do down there is spend some time with the kids at the orphanage there. And a lot of those kids have stories that are very interesting as far as how they got there and the things that they've been through. And so it's really special to be able to spend some time with them. They love attention. You can imagine having 30 kids in one place and only having a few people to watch over them. We also got to work on some projects around the compound there. We built a place to burn their garbage. Here we're doing some welding for the incinerator that we were building. So it was also a good time to be able to work on some things together. Here's Ed with some of the kids. Another one of the projects that we did is put up some of the chain link fencing there, just to keep the honest people out, as Ray said. So a couple of the guys spent a lot of time putting those together and getting them up there. Another really good thing that we got to do is go into the school and see the students there and see what's going on at school, and just to hear about some of the things that they're teaching the kids there. There's a guy, Tidor, that works at the school there that teaches character, and they make a point of meeting with every single student one-on-one. Another thing we did together is take a ride up and over the mountain to visit a couple of churches. And the ride was an adventure in itself. It was standing on the back of the truck basically for 3 hours there and 3 hours back. So we were all pretty tired at the end of that day. This is a picture of a recently completed church. And there was a team of 30 people coming out to dedicate that church. Basically, they were coming in the day after that we had left. Just a picture of some of the kids that by the new church that wanted their picture taken. And this is the start of another church that they've started building. And so these new churches are answers to prayer for the pastors out there. Here's a picture of some of the road conditions of the roads that we were driving on and why we had to stand on the back of the truck and not sit. This is Paul Ramez. He oversees all the work that Grace Mission is doing in Haiti. Here he's bringing a rooster home on the ride back. So here we are sitting down, and that's probably because we were too tired to stand anymore. You can see that there's just beautiful country in Haiti. This is at the very top of the mountain, and there's a little market there with people selling things. Another thing that was that's really good is to spend time together as a team in the evening, sit around the table and play games, and also to be able to share things with each other, get to know each other better, and spend time praying together. Here's the finished product of our incinerator and the chimney that we built. And just some more pictures of some of the kids at the orphanage. It was great to be able to get to know some of the kids better. There were some that we seemed to connect more with certain guys, and other kids connected with other guys. Ed seemed to have some of the teenage girls with him all the time. But just a really good time just playing with them, playing basketball and soccer with them, just fooling around with them. This is Maria. That's the only good picture I got of her because she's such a goof. She's always making faces and trying to be funny, so it's tough to get a good picture of her. So one of the questions that we ask ourselves is, why go to Haiti? And it's hard to think about or think whether it makes a difference or not just to go down there for a week. But some of the reasons that I think it's important for us to go is one of the things is that we've partnered with Grace Mission and the work that they're doing there. We believe in the things that they're doing, and we want to support them in that. And there's always things to do. There's more things that need to be done around the compound there that that Ray and Bonnie or anyone else can handle. They need help with that. And as I mentioned, one of the real blessings to be able to go as a team to Haiti is just to spend time with each other, to build relationships, to get to know each other better. I think that's a really important part of it. And it's not just a group of guys or a group of couples going to Haiti. This is an outreach of our church. All of you support people when they go there, that you pray for them. As a church, we've chosen to support Grace Mission, so this is not just a group of guys going on a trip to Haiti. This is our church working with Grace Mission and teaching pastors there and believing in the work that they're doing there in teaching the kids at the orphanage, in the thousands of kids that go to their schools there that are learning about having a relationship with God. And I think some of the other guys are going to share about some of the people that we met, but I just wanted to mention Paul and Belle and their years of dedication to the work that they're doing. And one thing that they would like your prayers for is for a new couple to come alongside them and to eventually take over the work there, because Paul and Belle are in their 70s, they're getting older, they can't do as much as they used to do. So just ask that you keep that in mind. Okay, I'm going to ask Ed to come up.
Some of the pictures I got over 500 pictures. If somebody wants to see it, they can come and see me. But I got some pictures that were really interesting on that part. The guys are hauling about 10 layers of eggs on their head, you know, and it's kind of common thing. Everybody carries stuff on their head, even if it's a little book or something like that, they put on their head and just carrying it with their head. That's one of the shops, a welding shop. If somebody needs something fixed, you know, people will come by and fix a motorcycle, a wheelbarrow, or anything what's out there. That's the local McDonald's at the town of Milo. If somebody is hungry, he'll go there and have quickly something to eat, a bowl of rice, basically. On the way to that citadel on top, there's kids that are playing music, and basically what they're expecting, and they're expecting a couple dollars or something, so that's how they make the money. It's a very common thing to see laundry, you know. In 1 week of laundry, I haven't seen so many laundries for the last 10 years here in Canada, because everything gets washed outside in the river and just laid on the rocks or on the grass, or summer it can dry. The country is beautiful, not everywhere, but most of the part it's very beautiful. Some hills are stripped down for charcoals, but driving up to the mountains, that's the roads we were taking. And it's basically, if you look at it, it's washed out streets and it looks like a river. It's another, you think you're in the jungle if you close by that, and there's river running, you know, we crossed the river 3-4 times. At one of the churches we've been to, they had like Thanksgiving day, and they brought in fruit. There you can see chicken on the left side, some kind of roots. And that's the rafters we were sitting under, and basically on the main stage rafter, you know. I don't know what was the reason to eliminate. It's a common thing you would see on the river, washing the trucks, cars, pickups, laundry, and everybody used the same water down the hill. So that water gets used many, many times. It's a taxi. Sometimes you can see the taxi up to 20 people in the back, and a guy driving and a guy in the back who is collecting the money, and that's how they make their living. And if you see the dirt, it's covered the whole town. Very unusual thing, you see a guy holding on one hand a donkey and the other hand a cell phone. You see every second guy has a cell phone out there. It's one of the churches, I start taking pictures from two girls, and all of a sudden girls had started adding up to 20 kids I had to take pictures. That's in a compound. That's the girl, her name is Givlin. She's the oldest girl, and she's 14. When I got there and she introduced herself, and she's 14, my daughter Sarah is 14. And I start imagining, you know, Sarah without parents. You know, it's getting pretty emotional. It's in a compound. In the compound, there's so many trees, and Ray was explaining every tree with the... There's so many fruits are growing in the trees. You know, the people can basically live out of that yard, not year-round, but you can collect fruit from the trees. That's in a market. Ray took us out to the market. It's the meat they're selling in the market, dirt, filth. Everything gets cut just on the concrete, on a broken concrete. That's on the market selling everything. If you walk through that market, I never had that experience that kind of smell as in this market. People burning, cooking fish, rice. Main food is in Haiti is rice. And everybody tries to sell whatever. It's a hardware store. Electrical wire, plumbing supplies, chains, shoes, whatever you want. You know, you can buy from that local hardware store. That's the local Parkside Lumber. You see a couple of those in that town. And it's the local brick factory. And basically, one guy will have a form, and he will make those bricks and stack them. And whenever people want to build houses, they will buy those bricks. That's the local co-op. We are driving down the street from the market, and we had to buy some stuff, and Ray stopped. And you know, you're driving down the street, and there's houses. All of a sudden, there's a booth and people selling stuff. You know, it's everybody trying to be self-employed and try to make some kind of living. It's the same picture Rick showed already. Look at the ceiling tiles, you know, and it's if it's open, the sun is shining on the roof, you know, inside of the building is pretty hot because there is no windows. Well, there is windows, but without glass, basically. That's the kitchen at the local school. That's how clean it is out there, you know, and they're feeding 2,600 people out of this kitchen. That's up on the mountain. One of the farmers, I guess, growing beans right below the tree. So I guess the sun doesn't affect a whole lot. That's the roads we had to take up and down the hill. It's for 3 hours standing in the back of the truck and shaking. You know, by the end of the day, you get burned out. That's what you see every street, down the street, it's garbage, filth, smell. Some garbage is burning. Some people try to clean up, put it on the middle of the, or on the side of the road, and there's garbage. There's lots of garbage, and there's a lots of garbage. And when we've seen the garbage, Mike said last time he was out there, that's basically clean already compared to what it was a couple of years ago. That's one of the market. They're selling charcoal. You know, driving into the market, we took a four-wheeler with Ray and Frank, driving into the market. Now imagine into the Winkler, if there's one black people will come into Winkler, how people look at him. Or if you go to the zoo and everybody looks at a monkey, that's how it felt like. You know, you're driving down the street and everybody looks at you with the dark eyes, you know, it's... You kind of get scared. That's the, I guess, main road into the market. People try to sell from the wheelbarrow or from a booth, and I don't have that garbage pile, but that's, if you walk, you walk through the garbage, basically. The whole market is just a garbage dump, and people try to sell out of that market, and people live out of the market. More garbage. Chickens out there, chickens and goats and pigs, crawling around the garbage piles and try to get some food out of it. So how can we make a difference? How can we change? We will start with Frank and those boys. You know, he grabbed a bag with garbage and was running around with the kids and supervising them. See, as you see, go pick up that garbage, you know, go pick up that garbage. Frank is in his element. And Can you clean the whole country? No, you can't. But you can, what you can do is maybe have a drop in a big bucket, basically, to clean the country. Drop of love. If you start at the compound and train those young kids to clean up after themselves, you're making a big difference in that country. Who doesn't like cleaning toilets? Okay, then tell your parents to build a toilet like that behind the house. Like that. Without doors, without roof on it, and you can go to the washroom. Oh yeah. If you would like that, go ahead. That's the toilet. It's 2x2 hole, and now try to imagine lady. Or boys, or girls. Or you use that in a Citadel. It's a toilet. It's about 20 stories down, you know. It will never smell. You know, even if you have to clean all the toilets at home, you know, they're smelly or dirty. Or we have to clean up the dishes, the dirty dishes, after every meal. But if you think how blessed we are, we have toilets inside of the house, what we can flush. The food we have, we can eat. What's the cleaning dishes? It's nothing. People out there don't have so much food, you know. If they have one meal a day, they're great. They're happy to have it. We have 3 meals a day or more, and 2 times coffee. Are we thankful for that? No, driving through the cities, through the city, you see that garbage, you see that smell, you see garbage burning, and the pictures what we saw right now, we didn't see 1% of that what's actually out there. You know, the pictures makes it so nice and neat and clean up, but if you've been out there, it's like Frank was saying, nothing can surprise us anymore. I mean, you get to that point where nothing can surprise us anymore at all. And how would you like to live in that country? I don't want to live in that country, but one thing I want to tell you, when we get to heaven, I like to be beside the Haitian people when we sing to God. They got voices, they sing, it's like you're in heaven. You know, it's the voices they have, it's unbelievable. How can we change the country? Can we change the country? Step by step. You know, when this school has a name, it's called A Drop of Love. And basically, Paul, when he started with the school, I don't know how many years ago, people asked him to start to teaching a couple of kids, 10, 20 kids. Right now, there's a school of 2,600 kids. You know, he started with that little drop, and that drop expanded to 2,600 kids. Going out there just to be a drop of love, and that to those kids, to those pastors, or to somebody, you know, you probably won't see it right now, or we won't see it right now, but down the road, I think it will make a change. If everybody from us can put a drop on that that country or in that orphanage, you know, it will make a difference. Frank?
Morning. I didn't have a camera along, so I borrowed some of Ed's 500 pictures, some of Mike's. I was supposed to focus on the people. This is the guy in the white shirt is Jacqueline. He's the one that took us up to the Citadel, and the other people were, I'll just go back there. Shayla, Shireen, and Cole. That was a different Canadian group that was... You found me, yeah? Is a Canadian group that joined us there at the orphanage, and I was just very encouraged by them, just their positive attitude and the time they took for the kids. This is the local U-Haul that you could rent, where you would the guys would either carry mattresses or furniture or whatever they needed to haul, and they'd walk in front of it. This is Paul Romeus. Just very encouraged by his servant attitude. One of the things that, as you see in the back, you can see my arm there. I was sitting in the back Jeep there, and I felt honored to sit there, first off, because he was the first one willing to sit back there. You know, being 72 years old, is just to still have that type of a servant attitude is just amazing. The other pastor in the middle is Pastor Duran, I believe. Here's at the church when we went to Pilat Margot. There's some kids that Ed was taking pictures of, and they're just, they wanted to, yeah, anyway, this is Woodland. I think he's sponsored by one of the people here. Just real encouragement to me. He was always walking with me. This is at the market, probably an empty stall that you could rent or use. The garbage pile behind it. This is the meat shop at the market. I trust that we didn't eat any of that meat, hopefully. but for the people there, it's normal. And I was just, while I was there, I was trying to think, you know, how could I be satisfied in those conditions? Being used to what we have here, I don't think I could. Just very, very blessed here. This is another picture there. This was at the dance in the orphanage. Again, the girls and Cole from the other Canadian group there just had so much fun with the kids. This is Ray and Bonnie. Just great people. Ray's got such a good sense of humor and... I guess I'd really encourage us to pray for them, just to have strength and to share, to love those kids the way they should. They're the parents of the orphanage of about 30 kids. I can't imagine, I have 3 kids and I know how much work it is to take care of them and to just take some personal time for each of them. It's a lot of work, and I just pray that, that God will give them strength. This was Woodland again, just a great kid. There's Ed and some of the girls and Wayne. My shades became community shades there, as you see when wearing them. This is a very common picture that you see, an undersized truck for an oversized load. This was after we cleaned up some garbage. Everyone was eager to try the incinerator out that we built there. Bonnie handing out water with a common cup. Garbage again, like Ed already showed, sorry. it wasn't really a highlight, but I was just very blown away how in the filth that people live in there. For the kids there, I just found it so dangerous because this trench that you see on the side here, it's about 3 feet by 3 feet deep with walkways across and filled with garbage. It's also the ditch for rainwater. I just found it so dangerous, just very overwhelming. This on the right is Paul and his wife Belle. They're in their 70s and just... leading the people there and training and just praise God for them. As Rick was saying, that we should keep them in our prayers, and that God would, you know, lead another couple to come and help them and to eventually replace them when they can't go on anymore. Here we're having some fun playing ball. Kids really enjoyed that. I did too. This is Ed. Coffee break. This guy on the left here is Killian. He was our driver going up to Pilat Frozin and Pilat Margot, where we went to church on Sunday. So the whole going to church took us from, we got back at about 4:30 from first thing in the morning. So that's it. Mike asked me, well, what difference did it make that I went there? I don't know what difference it will have made in the hearts of the people there for the country, but I know it made a big difference within my heart. It just made me much more grateful for the way, the country that we have here, the way we can live, and just all the blessings we can enjoy. The clean food, I mean, when do you trust that you can eat the meal prepared for you? Like, you just, we don't even question it here. And there, it's almost the main question whenever you want to eat, you know, is it safe to eat it? It makes me more grateful here and also gives me a deeper appreciation for the people that go out and do the kingdom work. How does it affect my view of it? It's just, I can pray more specifically for them. I'd encourage anyone that has the opportunity to go out there. Not that I'd want you to go through a hard time, but just to see it firsthand and just to be grateful to God and to ask God for Him to train up leaders to lead the country so that they can not just be helped, but that they can help themselves. So some of the main people that I met were Paul and Bill, Ray and Bonnie, and I just pray that we could keep them in our prayers. Thanks.
Good morning, I'm Wayne Dirksen. I'm not part of the church, but I had the opportunity to go along. Pastor Mike asked me if I'd share a little bit what Grace Mission was all about. And it's basically happens to be two people or two couples that are in the Haiti. Grace Mission is a small mission in Mexico as well as in Haiti. And in Haiti, the two people that run the orphanage are Ray and Bonnie Van Slyke. Very, very dedicated people. They do the administrative work there, and they deal a lot with the children of the orphanage, of which many of you are supporting. They are involved with the discipline and spiritual development of the kids, and if you can imagine what your own kids are like, times that by about 8 or 9, and that's the discipline that they have to meter out on a daily basis. It's very difficult for them. The next couple is Paul and Belle Ramos. Now, Paul has an interesting story. He was born a very poor voodoo family that couldn't have children. So Paul's father went to the witch doctor and asked him for help, and Paul was born, and Paul's father dedicated Paul to Satan. God had other plans for Paul, and he gave his life to the Lord when he was 8 years old, and he has become a great leader and inspiration to many, and he's the director of the Haitian operations. He married a lady named Belle, who's a North Dakotan, and Belle was a nurse there, and they worked together in the operations there. Paul opened the Drop of Love School in 1981, and which teaches 2,600 people. He opened it because he saw that there was a need, and he paid for the teacher's salary himself. And he ended up going and expanding that school. Another one of the operations they do there is through earthquake relief. They started receiving up to 4 containers a year of food, which they distribute and pass around. And part of it is at the Drop of Love School, where they do provide that one meal a day to the children. And then there's the church and pastor training, which your pastor, Mike, has been intricately involved and has a great outreach. I'm not quite sure how many pastors Mike is training right now, but that's an ever-increasing need, and a lot of people are asking for it, and which Grace Missions is supporting. Another thing they're supporting is the teams and work teams that come in and help out. There's medical teams, and then there's work teams like our team that went in to help support Ray and Bonnie and Paul, as well as do some of the maintenance type work around that they need. One neat project that they're doing right now is an elderly care facility, which is being built on the compound of the yard there. At this facility, they are planning to have the orphanage children involved, and here's a picture of the orphanage where the kids are living. The plan is that these children, as they grow up, will work in the orphanage. The younger kids will sing to the elderly, and there's a great need for people to care about one another in Haiti. Life doesn't mean much, and so the desire to train, to do some character training with the children so that they grow up to see the needs of others and to help meet those needs. To sum up, basically, Grace Mission is a very small mission whose major emphasis is character training through biblical teaching. From work teams to the elderly care facility, orphanage, pastor training, and the Drop of Love School, they are trying hard to change Haiti from within. There's no quick fix here. It's going to take a long time, and that people like you have partnered up and supported these churches for the long haul is an answer to prayer and a great need. And I will echo what some of the guys did mention. Please pray for Ray and Bonnie and Paul and Bill. They are working tirelessly, and the amount of difficulties and uphill battles is tremendous. So please continue to remember them. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, we had a great time in Haiti. You've seen a lot of pictures, a lot of images. You saw a little bit of a video where we were presenting the media players to the pastors. And of course, it's just like being in a kindergarten class. You give them something, and of course, they're going to press every button that's on there. You're trying to teach them how to use it, and they're just saying, oh, I know already. So the next morning, of course, I got one of the pastors coming up to me. He says, how do I get to the Bible in Creole? And so we have the Old and New Testament in French and the New Testament in Creole, and we have 300 hours of Through the Bible Ministries in French, which is an audio commentary on different books of the Bible. And so Rick comes to this trip, and he says, do I realize what I'm getting into? Maybe I should leave now. You know, you look at a screen, you say, what is beyond this point? And we went on this trip not knowing full well what would be beyond this point. I've been working on this project for about 2 years of getting an audio media player into the hands of these pastors. And so I first started with a crank-up radio, and I brought it to them, and they were excited about, when's that coming? I said, well, hopefully in the next 6 months. That was a year and a half ago. And then I went back again and said, well, went there last year and still didn't have it. When's it coming? Well, I'm hoping the next time I come in. Went in again in July and didn't have it. And so right until the last day before we left, it was Wednesday night that I finally received them. They'd been working on this project for over a year, and TWR finally came through with this media player. Solar paneled, 16 gigabyte small SIM card that you would place in your phone, and that's what we're using. And so we dedicated these players, and we had the team fellows to pray with these pastors so that they would use these resources to God's glory. Of course, it's an overwhelming task. We look at the work and we say, you know, we think we understand it. We think we understand what they need to do. I wonder if we understand what we need to do right here in Canada, let alone what to do in Haiti. And I thank the Lord for the men that came along and prayed. Here we have Bernadine praying with Pastor Andre from Boucan Michel. They're going to have a dedication, church dedication, in not too distant future. Pastor Durand is one of the trainers and just loves the Lord. He's actually teaching about five classes and just has a great love for people. We're down in Pilat-Frosin. This is on Sunday. And a bunch of different churches came, and they got singing groups, and they're singing. And this is, like I said, a Thanksgiving feast. And so you can see the different items that they brought. Beautiful, beautiful people. Beautiful voices, as Ed said. Just love hearing them sing. And of course, if they really get excited, they start getting animated, and they start dancing in the aisles and so on. This is all done a cappella. There's no instruments normally. Even though they do have a keyboard, they weren't playing with a keyboard in this case. This is Pastor Marion. He is the pastor of this church where they're having this Thanksgiving service. His wife died in a DR. He has three children. He has one child that right now has epilepsy, and he needs $20 a month to basically take care of his son, and he has no means of income. How does he do it? Well, basically, we've been giving him samples of different drugs, not different drugs, but a drug that's going to help his son with epilepsy, and that's how he's been sort of limping along and taking care of his son. We'll see a picture of him in a minute. These ladies, you'll see, just love the Lord. They're decked out singing glory to God, having a wonderful time. Paul Romeus was giving the message that morning, and, you know, first he wanted me to preach, then he says I was going to preach something. I said, well, why don't you preach, and I'll just share a few thoughts. Here's the little boy in the blue shirt. He's the boy that struggles with epilepsy, and we could go through that whole room, and there would be somebody struggling with something. Pastor Durant brought his keyboard down, came over the hill to come and just share with this sister church, and didn't know he was talented in playing the keyboard. On Monday, I went to Cap Haitian, and I met with about 60 pastors and church leaders and started a new Book One class. I sort of forgot what it was like to start a new Book One class in Haiti. And so the questions were very, very challenging, and yet they were sincere. They wanted to hear what the Word of God had to say. In the evenings, we would get together, and we worked through the book of Galatians and the book of Titus in our devotions, and each of the fellows were leading us in a chapter. This is Pastor David Castigue and his wife, and they're the couple that is leading this new training center in Cap Haitian. This is their team of trainers, and they actually have about 100 pastors and church leaders that they're going to be training in two different cities. So here we have vision, a pastor, and his son. None of this would have happened without Pastor Paul's vision with the drop of love, yeah. Reaching out to the pastors. First time I met Pastor Joel, he said to me, he said, Mike, he says, I'd like you to pray for me. He says, one thing I would like to do is I'd like to build a new facility for my church family. They were living in just a bunch of bamboo sticks and banana leaves and that kind of thing. And when I went to it, and I do have a picture, I showed it here, the whole structure was leaning. And so he says, I'd like to see something happen before I die. God is not only using those three men, he's using these kids, and this is a future generation. God can use orphans to reach the next generation. Lovely, lovely kids, but each one of them has a story. A story where they have either their parents died or their parents left them to be taken by an orphanage because they realized that they couldn't care for their kids. So we went into Haiti. We came back safely. Thank you, Lord, for your prayers, the prayers of your people. Thank you for the ladies who allowed their husbands to go. How does it impact our lives? Would we go back? Is it a God-sized task? Is it overwhelming? Absolutely. We can't do it alone. And so we partner with different ministries. We partner with DeVar. We partner with Transworld Radio. We partner with Grace Missions. All of that to help equip pastors in Haiti and around the world. Because they are the spiritual leaders. They are the leaders of this next generation. We know there's confusion. We know they need help. But unless we equip them, it's not going to happen. So the Audible, designed that they might hear the Word of God spoken. The spoken word. That's the ministry of Faith EBC. So we got together yesterday and we had some fine fellowship with some Christian drink called Pepsi. None of that adulterated Coke stuff. Put that back on here. You can see there's a little bit of a spiritual battle happening here. We enjoyed a time of prayer yesterday, thinking about all that God would like to do in and through our lives. I ask the men to come up here at this time. We're just going to have a closing word of prayer with you. And so yesterday as we met, he said, you know, what is one thing that you would want us to pray about? And so we're going to pray in response to that question. And we're going to ask you to pray as well as you think of the ongoing ministry that we have together. Certainly thank Wayne for coming along. Wayne, you're part of the body of Christ. It's not about this church or that church. We're reaching hundreds of different churches in Haiti, different denominations, different belief systems. And we're bringing the Word of God to them. And thank you, Wayne, for coming along and being part of that. So I'm just going to pass the microphone along, and then starting with Rick, and then just lead us in prayer.
Lord, I'm thankful for the privilege that it was to go down to Haiti with these guys. Thank you for the chance to get to know them better, to share things with each other and pray with one another. Just for the encouragement was that it was to spend time together. I do pray for Paul and Belle, for Ray and Bonnie and their their servant hearts, Lord, the example that they set for us in the sacrifices that they've made to do your work there. Pray that you would give them strength. Pray that you would give them wisdom to know as they make such difficult decisions there, and as they try to deal with living in a different culture. I pray too for all of the pastors there, and I just pray that as they take these Bible classes that they would be willing to learn, and that they would be able to take what they've learned and take it back to their churches and be effective leaders. Pray that you would help them as they deal with so many burdens and they have people coming to them for help all the time, and pray that you would give them wisdom in knowing how to deal with all that. Amen.
Lord, I thank you for Grace Missions. And I pray, Lord, that you continue to be with the leadership. And ask, Lord, that you continue to give people the opportunities and the vision to continue to work and bring forth your word to the people. I ask, Lord, that you renew and energize the people in the field, Paul and Belle and Ray and Bonnie. Thank you for their dedicated work and efforts, Lord, and please help us to come alongside and do our part and support them in the work that they're doing. I thank you, Lord, for the people who are working with them, and ask, Lord, that you please continue to bless your work in Haiti and around the world.
Lord, I too thank you for the opportunity to go to Haiti, to go there with this group, Mike, Ed, Wayne, and Rick. Just thank you for the time and devotion and prayer that we had out there. Just learned a new appreciation for these men, and also especially for Mike. Pray that you'd give him strength and courage as he's been there so many times out there to just help the pastors there and to train them, and also that your word would be taught and that people would come to know you. Pray that you would continue to lead that, give strength where needed. Pray that you'd also be with this church body here. Thank you for the prayer support and the encouragement that they have been to me, and I pray that we would continue to lift up the country of Haiti, that you, O Lord, would train up leaders within the country that they could be helped, and that they would trust you with that, and that they would come to you with their challenges, and that they would trust in you, and that they would have a heart change and just make a difference out there. Lord, thanks again for guiding us by your Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father, for Ray and Bonnie, for the willingness they have, you know, to go out there and live in that country and make a difference in the life of the kids they're adopted or in the orphanage. I just want to pray that you'll give them daily strength, guidance. Just want to pray for the kids' health. It's not necessary that everybody will get through. Just want to pray that you will move it. Every little kid who's out there and struggling with the health issues. Thank you for Ray and Bonnie for the willing hearts they have to be there and lead the way to the church. And thank you for this church who prayed for us when we were out there. Amen.
Lord, as we were reminded as we read your word this morning, as the Lord Jesus wept over Jerusalem and he saw the dismal situation, how people were failing to respond to the truths in your word. When we look at Haiti, we see how overwhelming it is, and we see the confusion, and we wonder, what difference does it make? When we sit at home and we try so hard and we're trying to raise our families, and we face disappointments, We wonder, what difference does it make? We sit in our classes and the kids aren't listening, and we wonder, what difference am I making? We seem to go through the motions, and yet, Lord, you want our hearts. We do thank you for the work that you are doing in and through our lives, the lives of each and every one in this building here today. We thank you that we can witness and see what you're doing in and through the lives of these four men here today, how that you're using their lives to touch the lives of others, and how that as they have seen the sacrifice and commitment of, yes, Paul and Belle and Ray and Bonnie, and we wonder how they can survive it, but Lord, there's also Bernadine and Ezekiel and Joel and Andre and Duran, Pastor Manny, who also are committed to just one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, being faithful to praying with their families, being faithful in preparing a lesson, confronting the syncretism in their own lives and trying to get to the truth as it reads your word. And so we pray that you'll strengthen them. We know that only glory, only the future, as we meet you and stand face to face, will reveal all the effort, all the sacrifice, all the time in prayer, all the determination to serve you and honor you with our lives. And so I pray, Father, that we wouldn't become weary in well-doing. May we be faithful and living faithful lives in our community, in our homes, in our businesses, and that we'd be sure to share all the good things that we have with those less fortunate than we. And so we commit our lives afresh, and we thank you for the ministry of prayer, the ministry of giving, the ministry of teaching, the ministry of just walking humbly before you and one another. And so use your church throughout this community to reach the world. Yes, to reach Haiti. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake, and thank you again for coming. May the Lord bless you. Amen.